Sai's glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday
Live. Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving pranams at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai. Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Morning Glory on this bright and sunny Thursday morning on March the 27th, 2014. We are coming to you live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. The time here in our studio right now is exactly 9:40 a.m. Current temperature outside the studio is 30 degrees Celsius. Finally, the mercury is back in its seasonal range. Puttaparthi is experiencing overnight lows in the early to mid-20s, and daytime highs are creeping up to touch 40 degrees Celsius. The air is crisp and dry, air quality is excellent with zero pollution, and the skies are Krishna blue, and everything else is simply delightful in our slice of heaven. My name is Karuna, and it's my divine honor to host this show on God's very own radio station, that is Radio Sai Global Harmony. I apologize for being away from this show last Thursday, and I'm grateful to Baba to be well enough to be back today. I also want to thank Brother Raghu for filling in for me last week. Today on Morning Glory, we have once again lined up quite a delectable menu for your inspiration and listening pleasure. We will continue the in-house Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories conversation with Radio Sai's very own dancing ninja, Kawasaki Ganesh. And of course, we will bring you, before that, the concluding part of our Tryst with Divinity interview that we began last Thursday with Professor V.N. Pandit, the internationally respected, renowned and reputed former Vice Chancellor of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. As you know, Professor Vishwanath Pandit is an economist of international clout who is well known for his academic brilliance, his success as a teacher, and particularly for his humility despite the success. Today on Morning Glory, our part two of this Tryst with Divinity exclusive interview with Dr. V.N. Pandit must not be missed, and it's coming up shortly. But first, let's turn your attention to what's making news in Prashanti. The countdown has begun for the two-month-long summer vacation of the various Sai schools and university. And there is a certain feel to this place around this time of the year. The weather is warming up, Mr. Golden Sun is smiling ear to ear upon the children, who are also wearing happy faces as they are quite looking forward to going home for some TLC and quality family time. And TLC, of course, is the tender loving care from their parents and extended families, as these children live and study away from home for 9.5 months a year. Sai schools close for summer holidays on April 1st, Sai University April 15th. But regardless of the vacation schedule of Sai institutes, Prashanti Nilayam never rests. As Baba taught us, rest is rust, and life at this abode of highest peace is an ongoing celebration, relentless celebration. April is just around the corner, and it is the month of deep introspection for all Sai devotees. The ashram machinery is working full throttle as we prepare for the Aradhana Mahotsavam coming up on April 24th, the day the Avatar chose to shed his finite form and return to the infinity that he is. Prashanti doesn't allow one to fall into the slumber of ignorance, as it keeps us on our toes. Everyone has a tight schedule here, but it's not a stressful schedule. Now that is the uniqueness of living and working in Prashanti Nilayam. Every single day we have a date with God, and God is such a patient friend, always trying to bring out the best in us. Just being in the Sai Kulwant Hall, what a blessing it is. If only we had the eyes to see the divine energies that embrace us as we approach that sacred destination that was sanctified by the physical presence of God during His recent visit to earth in the form of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Dear sisters and brothers, surely you will agree with me that there is no place in the universe as easy on the heart and as soothing on the soul as our Prashanti, the abode of supreme peace. And through the various segments of our Thursday Live program, we bring you glimpses of the unparalleled glory of Prashanti Nilayam and the one source that makes it so sacred, our beloved Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. So let's take off Morning Glory today on March the 27th, 2014 with part 2 of Radio Sai's exclusive Tryst with Divinity interview with Professor Vishwanath Pandit, the former Vice Chancellor of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. It is coming up for your listening pleasure after a short but important announcement. Stay tuned.
I had a lot of fractures, I had a lot of bruises, and I had breathing problems, but it was Baba, Baba, Baba every day. With every breath, with every step I would take while running, it would be Om Shri Sai Ram.
Well, it actually all started with my mother getting a vision of Swami. This was in 1970, when she was cooking.
There were lots of roses and, of course, tiny little rosebuds, which was nowhere ready to bloom. And he just touched it with his finger. Mm-hmm. And just like a movie or a video, mm-hmm. right in front of my eyes, you know, this rosebud started to get bigger and bigger and bigger and opened out into a beautiful rose.
Love all, serve all. We've made as famous as Swami has at the Hard Rock because we put it on millions and millions of t-shirts, jackets, buttons, badges, everything. If you got your check, if you work for me at the top, love all, serve all. We put huge signs up in every restaurant around the world.
Tryst with Divinity is our weekly series in which we bring you conversations with devotees of Bhagwan Baba from around the globe. You can listen to this on Asia Stream of Radio Sai every Thursday at 9:50 a.m. and 8:30 p.m. To know more about the timings of this weekly series, Tryst with Divinity, on other streams of Radio Sai, please go to the schedule page of our website radiosai.org, or you can also download and listen to any interview of your choice in this series at your leisure by visiting the link radiosai.org/tryst, that is radiosai.org/tryst or tryst. Thank you and happy listening. Sai Ram.
So you've taught in some of the finest schools around the world, University of Manchester, Chapel Hill, North Carolina. You've taught at the Wharton Business School at University of Pennsylvania, at the Delhi School of Economics, which is quite a prestigious institution. When you first came to the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, what was your first impression of the system of education?
No, that's why I came here. In fact, I was so impressed with the system of education. But by the way, you know, this, I'll tell you something about what I know more, you know, for example, the subject next to economics is commerce.
Right.
Delhi University has an excellent BA honors program and also MCom program in commerce. But I found here, it was equally good here, or even better in some ways. I'm purely in academic terms.
Yeah.
Even now I can claim that the commerce education at the undergraduate level, now we don't have an MCom program, is just as good as Delhi University, or, you know, is in fact better than that. Not just, I'm sorry.
That's very nice to hear from somebody who
headed really
that institute.
Very good. It was better than most other universities here. And I know even now some people who come from Bombay University, they might know a few more things about a few more papers, but the basic training in the teaching commerce is there. And let me tell you that encouraged me when I came here to teach economics. The economics syllabus here was just as good or even better than in Delhi University. And I can even say that it stands way out compared to many other central universities. I know from, you know, Central University of Hyderabad, you would come here, their teachers, and they would say that in your honors, BSc honors, we started with BSc honors much earlier in the mid-90s, That was mathematics, economics, statistics combination.
Right.
They said, you're teaching in honors what we barely teach in the MA level, at the MA level. That's still true. And our students have done very well professionally and otherwise. I'm not talking about the value-oriented education. I'm talking
pure academic
pure academic terms. Our students, one of them has finished his PhD from Columbia, New York.
Wow.
And
very
he's
impressive.
Now likely to join a United Nations position. Another fellow, much earlier, he had graduated in mid-90s and then gone to Indian Statistical Institute, Calcutta, then ultimately to one of the American, leading American, which one was it? It's Midwest, one of the universities. Northwestern, I think. He got his PhD from there. And another fellow now, more recent, is now doing his PhD at Stanford. And two of them have finished from France, one of the leading universities in France, and are now likely to go to Germany. And like that. And many have finished other courses from England. They're doing very well.
Obviously, and when the program
them,
is
no,
so
let
strong.
Let me mention one more case. Hmm. One of our students went to the Indira Gandhi Institute in Bombay, which is a very leading institution
right.
at present. And in the admission test, in the written, his rank was 22nd or 23rd, something like that. But after the interview, his rank was 2nd. It is not because the written you can say some chance, lucky, some question came which he knew very well and all that. But after being interviewed, they raised his ranking from 23rd to 2nd. And he is now finishing his doctorate there.
Very impressive.
And many others also. They are doing really very well. This is only in terms of the academic things. But much more is the values with which they leave this place. And all of them are really impressive. And some have finished doctorate, some have done that. There are no compromise between... I personally don't think there is any compromise. I don't know whether everyone else would agree with me. I have a feeling that the value-oriented education strengthens your pure academic achievements. It's not that one is at the cost of another. I don't agree.
They complement each other, basically.
They complement each other.
Mm-hmm.
Not merely complement, they promote. You know, the, some of these values, your concentration, your devotion, your determination, and other things that Swami teaches, they help you academically.
Definitely.
They are academic virtues. And it depends on how you use them, then the values come in. So that was very impressive. And when we started the management program here, it was really very good.
And that's why the school is so successful,
yeah,
the Sai
it's
University.
Successful, they're getting good jobs. And not only that, but whatever they do, there's a purpose in that. And they are stand distinct. Because nowadays, one is getting a bit frustrated. Some of these top institutions are producing students who have no values at all. You know, in the I've said this earlier, in the talk about the world of finance and all that kind of thing. Some of the best brains are working out the tricks and problems which really are facing the world of economics today.
And that's the Shakespearean tragedy, that these are such brilliant minds, they've been to the finest schools, and they're using their intelligence to beat the system.
That's right.
Which is very unfortunate.
Very unfortunate.
And imagine somebody with such bright careers ending up in jail, ending up with legal suits. That's not why they went to IIMs and IITs and so on, the finest business school. Sathya Sai University is the one place that really hones your moral compass along with your academic.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And this is happening all across, all campuses, whether it's Vrindavan, it's here, Prashanthi Nilayam, or Anantapur, or
Mudanahalli,
the new one. That kind of the value orientation is very essential. Because after all, many other things you learn in life. There's university is only a starting point. It tells you how to learn. But
life teaches you the rest.
Life teaches you the rest. So, but then if you are on the right track, it becomes much easier.
When you have the right moral foundation, then you know your way around.
Because a businessman once told me, you know, top businessman, this MBAs. I said, why do you give a preference to the MBAs? Do they know your business much better than any others? He said, no, we only prefer them because they've gone through a filter process. They have been found to be good. But we teach them the business. I mean, how to take decisions and many other things. He says, we teach them in the specific context. But we know they are bright people, and if so that is the value addition in terms of the moral values and other things, that really is a, you know, sone par suhaga, as one would say.
Exactly. Now, sir, you've been with Swami for so many years and you've interacted with him so much, especially during your tenure as Vice Chancellor of the University, as well as before that. You must have some very fond memories of
being with the avatar in his physical proximity. Would you care to share some?
Yeah, let me first start by saying that my relationship with Swami has been somewhat different from what you usually.
In what sense?
In the sense that I always felt it was more heart to heart than things exchanged or spoken or something like that. Typically, we never really dwelt with any problems that we had. Typically, you know, you go to Swami and you have some problem. Yes.
You didn't take your problems to him physically?
Not really.
Even if you had an opportunity?
Because he knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
So my deep feeling was that he knows everything. Whatever has to be done will be done by him.
So no need to articulate and...
But I had this feeling all through that, you know, at the right time, for example, you know, some advice he got. Some things are there. I remember once Swami was calling me for an interview. And before that, as we didn't yet enter, I asked him three questions. One was about myself, one was about somebody related to me, and one was about some general issues. To everything he said, do your work. I had a feeling that probably I didn't put it correctly or he didn't hear it properly and things like that. But later on, subsequently I thought about it in some depth. That was the correct answer to each question.
Just do your work.
Do your work. And let me, then I relate it to, because since I had been coming here, in some sense I must admit, I had been somewhat not very keen about my work in what I was doing in Delhi. I was taking it somewhat easy. But that was a good warning. Do your work. I went back into my, you know, the work that I was supposed to be, academic work and other kinds of things. And really, I rediscovered myself in some ways, because there was some period when, you know, I'd kind of lost the
interest. There's a lull in your interest.
Lull in the interest. It was there, but it was not really, I was not, you know, up to it.
I see.
I was not devoting my best effort.
So very precise advice. It was relevant to do your work.
Very much, do your work. So this is what I will never forget, and that continued to guide me even when I came here later, you know. Yes, vice chancellor also. I continue to teach. I continue to teach two courses every semester and so many other things. Because that was the thing that I was in a way capable of doing. And again, Swami has been so, you know, let me tell you why I never really put anything to him. He provided the solution before the problem arose, before even I was aware of the problem. I'll give you one instance. When 86 we were here, somewhere and someone granted an interview, the MBA had, you know, that admission test, and he said, you've done a good job and something, we've got chosen good people and all that. Then he said, come for the, no, that was not July itself. It was later in Dasara time we had come here in October when I started teaching also. Then he told my wife, come for the birthday celebrations. My wife said, Swami, there'll be many devotees and accommodation is very difficult and things. He said, no. Room de dega. I didn't know what.
So he would give you a room, he assured you.
So then he said, you meet Kutumbrao. Kutumbrao was the secretary those days. He says, you give your payment to him. And when I went to Kutumbrao later, that day I think we had to leave 2 days later. Kutumbrao said, no, this cannot be right. Because Swami himself takes the payment check or whatever it is and passes on to me. I said, no, but this is what he said, I'm not lying. Then he said, okay, I'll check with him this afternoon. Then evening when I was passing in front of his office, he came out himself, Mr. Kutumbrao came out himself, and he says, I checked with Swami, you can give me the payment. And I went immediately to where I was staying and got this check and gave it to him. And we were allotted a room. When next time we came for the birthday, to be cautious, we are always trying to be cautious. I wrote to the university people saying that I am coming for the Swami's birthday celebrations. I want to have that pleasure. And please see if I can be provided some accommodation. And they didn't reply, as I didn't expect them to reply. But when I came and I went to the accommodation office, I said, I had written to the university. Have they written anything to you?
Mm-hmm.
What is the name? I said, my name is this and this. No, no, you meet Mr. Kudumbrao next door. So I went to Mr. Kudumbrao. He gave me the key to the room. It was W6, C17, top floor. Excellent room. open on three sides and all that. And Kudumarao said that Swami had gone through the list 2-3 times to ensure that you got this room and, you know, that you were included. And that time, most others who got it had been waiting for 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, because it was very difficult those days to get an accommodation allotted to you. So he had solved the problem. And whenever I came here for any work, I didn't need to write to anyone for accommodation or anything.
You had your own room.
I had my own room.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one kind of thing. Then similarly, on other issues also, whenever there was, you know, I didn't even know the problems. He had solved them already. So that is the kind of thing I have.
Sir, you earlier spoke about how Swami gave you a very simple message, do your work, and that sort of was an answer to all the three questions you had on your mind. Now, as a Vice Chancellor, you were very well respected as a very humble, down-to-earth person who went about doing his work. I understand Swami spoke to you about your tenure as a Vice Chancellor just shortly before the Mahasamadhi happened also. Would you like to share that?
No, much earlier. Let me recount that. You know, I usually don't share, but let me do that today. This was much earlier. Again, this was the sports time. This was this time.
So January of 2011?
No, it was 2010.
2010, okay.
Because by...
Your tenure was over by 2010?
Over by July 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the January of that year. And that year, Swami went to the ground every evening, all the 8 days, last 8 days, when all the campuses were here. So he went there and... Often he would bring me back in his car, sit at the back and all that. And that evening at dinner in the Yajur Mandir, he said in Telugu, which I didn't fully understand, but somebody translated across saying that Swami is asking, are you happy? I said, Swami, very happy. I can't be better than this. Then later I was told that the person who had translated, he says, I didn't translate the whole thing, there was no time. But he was saying that Swami is very happy, that in your tenure as Vice Chancellor, a lot of good things are happening. And Swami is very happy. Are you happy? So, you know, everyone was saying that, you know, he has not said this often, at least, you know, they were very excited to hear that and very happy to hear that. And so was I. So that kind of thing, I got his divine grace. I don't know whether I deserved it, but it was all through every time, everything I did. Again, in that time we had this conference of ethics and the world of finance.
Finance, yes.
It went so marvelously just because of Swami's...
And the who's who of the business world of India.
Everyone, you know, this...
And the Central Bank of India, the governor of the Reserve Bank of India.
Former governor, governor.
Current governor, former governor, everybody was here.
Later, some of these people who were the top magnates in the world of finance, bankers, came, you know, were telling me, normally, not more than 4 or 5 of us you will ever see together, and you will not often see us talking to each other. This is the thing.
True.
This is the world we live in.
Yeah, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there, but in Prashanti, they were buddies.
He said that this is a marvelous place. Here we have 30 of them. And one of them called her daughter, you know, this was this lady, she was the top of one of the banks. She called her daughter in US, saying we are here, and 30 of us, she didn't believe that. Are you really here? And then she told her also, we are told that Swami is providing free health care in a super specialty hospital and all that. This girl herself is a doctor in America. She told her, no, no, it cannot be right. You check it. And next day she went, visited the super specialty hospital, came back and called her daughter again. I've seen it. I've verified. Everything is free. You know, it is a marvelous kind of...
What an eye-opener for such important people who are in positions of decision-making. Great education.
And they were so... And all of them, these participants here, so we are so lucky to have been brought here to participate in this conference. It was an eye-opener. Even now we have that volume which is really saying a lot about how the world could be much better with a better finance arrangement and institutions and doing their job properly. So that was, my tenure... It was all divine grace that everything went off so well. Maybe I was just lucky. It's a matter of divine grace. No. Of course, we had to clear with get Swami's permission and blessing for everything that was done. Again, this finance conference, for some time we were wondering how to put it to him and how to... But once it was put to him, he just graced it. He just, you know, conveyed his blessings. And he says, go ahead and do it. And so many people came and all that. So that was really present. So similar things, even small things. But one thing about Swami was always, you know, he would never forget the details. Mm-hmm. He would not overlook. Typically you will see they don't know the details. They said overall.
But he was so hands-on.
Very much.
Meticulously.
I'll tell you two instances. Once I said, Swami, the results have been declared. Then he says, how many, you know, you have to give some details. Swami, on the whole, it's good. No, how many failures? Luckily, I had the figures. So many failures across the campuses. And we'll try to improve them. He said, take special classes for them and all that. But he says, I know how people have done, but do you know it? That was the message. And second time was even more, you know, it looks very ordinary. Convocation was ready to, you know, in a few hours, and I was there getting blessings and all that. How many chairs have you put?
On the dais.
On the dais.
Wow.
I said, Swami, I think it's about 22 or 23. He said, you should be precise.
Wow.
You should know what is being done. He said, I know how many chairs there are, but you should know it. You know, that was a great instruction that you don't
take anything for granted. What if you have a 24th guest and you don't have a chair?
No, actually that was the point. He was saying that, have you invited the Vice Chancellor of SK University?
Uh-huh.
Krishnadevaraya University.
Yeah.
I said, we have not invited, but we shall invite. There was still time for that. We called her and I think she came. She was a bit busy, but she said, I'll cancel everything and come. But the point of this sense of detail, everything, how many people are there, where are you sitting them, Vice Chancellor's conference is there, how many are coming, who is doing what is the program. You know, I was in charge of one of these Vice Chancellor conferences. Much earlier there had been, earlier one or two, but in that time under Mr. Giri's Vice Chancellorship, there was one such conference. I was in charge of that. So he would ask all the details about, you know, what did somebody speak and what kind of discussions and things like that. He said, I know it, but have you paid attention? That was a lesson.
The pop quiz was only for clarifying your understanding, your grasp of detail.
And also how much interest you are taking.
Yeah, you're not zooming out and just being a figurehead and not paying attention. Wow, very hands-on. What a perfectionist, Bhagwan.
Very much perfectionist.
So, sir, as the former VC or the Vice Chancellor of the Sai University and a current resident of Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram, how do you view the future of the Sai mission and its place in the history of humanity?
Well, let me start by saying that there is no alternative for the society, for the world. Whichever country you are thinking of, problems are similar, somewhere more, somewhere less, and somewhere one type more, another type less. But I see increasingly the humanity is facing the same problems and they are catastrophic. The only solution I find is what this avatar has told us to do. Now I'll take only two or three cases. One is the usual material problems. We are facing a lot of problems and the solution I suggest...
What do you mean by material problems?
Material problems of prosperity, poverty, inequality, and shortage of many things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are going to soon have shortage of water.
So real crisis.
Yeah. I don't know what the universe will do. The figures are that except for Canada, all other countries, including United States, will have shortage of water in another probably half a century or something like that. Now, there are other kinds of similar things. Now, Swami has given us the solution in terms of sealing on desires. These have to be adopted at all levels. We are wasting, and he said specifically, it's amazing. Way back in 1976, when nobody thought of this, even here Chitravati used to be flowing for half the year at least.
Yeah.
Nobody could think of the water as a problem.
Swami foresaw it.
1976, yes. He proclaimed this as a very important lesson for everyone. Sealing on desires, food, money, water.
Energy.
And time. Now, if that is adopted, even now, we have some solution. If we forget that, there is no way out. This is one class of problems. Another class is our commitment to things. Our commitment to things is, you know, this family, what is happening to the family? What's happening to the community? Everybody is playing his game. And he's talked about duty with love. Duty, everybody has to have a commitment to his duty. He must do what he's supposed to do. And if it is not happening, then what will happen? And one principle he gave was, best study of mankind is man. I don't know if you, it's not often highlighted, but I found it very important. You know, human body, God has designed in such a way that if something pricks your foot, you don't have to think about it. The hand will automatically go and remove it. Swami has said it himself. And if there is some problem, the body takes care of itself. There is an automatic thing because everything is doing its own duty. Like that, we have to think of ourselves as members of a body in which we have to do the needful. And we should be awake to what should
be done. Our duties. We should be committed to them.
Committed to that. So that's, and if you don't have that feeling of duty with love, not duty with compulsions of any kind, or, you know, he talks about three kinds of things, you know.
Duty with love.
Duty without
love. Duty without love is deplorable, he says. Duty with love is desirable, but love without duty is divine.
Is divine.
That's
so that is what we have to really, second thing which is I find the most vital. Third problem we have is social tensions. The society is disintegrating. Family is disintegrating. There is no relationship. Parents are not taken care of by children. This is a very common thing nowadays. I think here again we have to think of his principle was love of God, fear of sin, morality in society. Unless we bring that commitment, I think the future of humanity is in danger. And this has to go on, and how much it will succeed and how much people adopt, I don't know. But I think those who have known Swami, people like us, owe it to humanity to stand by these principles and propagate them as much as we can.
And practice them.
Practice them ourselves.
And we are quite a sizable number. We run into 7 million of people.
Across so many countries.
Exactly. 125
so
countries.
So I am not pessimistic at all. I am sure that all of us in varying degrees have that commitment, and we are going to propagate that and practice this. First, before you propagate, you practice some of these things. If you don't yourself practice, nobody will take you seriously. And I think you saw this time, the birthday celebration went off so well.
Beautifully.
It was just as good as, you know, Swami was physically not there, but everybody had put him in his heart. And the Christmas celebration, which is just over, went off so wonderful.
And the convocation and the
everything else has been going on.
Perfectly.
Even though one thought that, you know, Swami is not there, but then I think it will take us, because we are human beings. We are not that perfect. It takes us some time to get adjusted to the new circumstance. And we have to do that. Because after all, every avatar left the body and, you know, the physical world and went back to the avatarhood. So that was known. Of course, all of us were hoping that he'll be there for another 10 years, 12 years. But that's not important. Important is that we put him in our heart and we commit ourselves to his mission. And I think that is, there's no alternative, and it has to happen, it will happen, I have no doubt.
It's very nice to hear of your optimism. My final question to you, Dr. Pandit, is when you were doing your PhD at the prestigious Wharton School of Business at University of Pennsylvania under Dr. Lawrence Klein, you were a young man, you originally come from the Valley of Kashmir. Did you ever imagine you'll end up retiring in a little ashram in South India?
Not really, but one thing I'll tell you, that when I finished my education, I had a large number of offers. By the way, let me also mention, he's no more. Professor Lawrence Klein died about 2 months back.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah, may he rest in peace. He was a great man, apart from a great economist and whatever he did. He was a very nice human being. So I was very, again, this divine grace, Swami's kripa, that I went to work with him, because my earlier plans was to go to Harvard and some other places, Princeton, those are on the deck. But some friend of mine told me, no, you must go to University of Pennsylvania, work with Klein. Klein turned out to be a great human being. And when I finished, I had about 6-7 offers. They were from all over, from Australia, from Canada, and from US, several places. Chapel Hill went for 1 year, but they were very keen to me to stay. But I had promised my father I'll come back. And I had promised my institution, Delhi School. I was already teaching Delhi School. I was on study leave. So I had told them that I'm coming back. So I came back. But at that time, I didn't think of this place. I didn't know about this place. I told you at Chapel Hill, somebody thought. I knew Satya Sai Baba, but it didn't strike. But he had his plans. And those plans had to materialize.
Now, for somebody with your kind of a stellar professional profile to come and take over your occupation as a teacher at the Satya Sai University, how did your peers see that? You were being sought after by the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the various governments like the government of Sri Lanka to advise them on their economics policy, and yet eventually at the peak of your career you chose to work for a private university in South India.
No, they have shown a lot of understanding. I must say that even now I have contacts with many of them. I just went to Bombay to attend the Golden Jubilee Conference of the Indian Econometric Society.
So you take the name of Satya Sai University there?
Yes, that's right. I make sure where I'm from and you know, many people, we have a conference here next month, the Department of Economics is organizing. Many people said they would like to come here, attend that conference.
And so your peers see this very positively?
They see very positively. I must really say that. And many have come here, you know, on some occasion or the other. And whenever I wrote to them, they came.
Did Dr. Lawrence Klein ever come?
No, Lawrence Klein, no. Not because by the time, you know, I came here and all that, he was fairly old. As
okay.
I told you,
for him to travel.
He was 93.
Mm-hmm.
He was traveling, but again, not really that much. But I had written to him, I'm going to this place, and he replied that, okay, I'm happy to know that. You be happy. That was his message.
Wherever similar to Swami's, just always be happy.
Be happy. Wherever you're happy, you know that. And I was in touch with him even from here for some time. But then last few years he was not responding because I think he's too old, you know, getting close to 90 and all that. But I had no problem at all professionally. Even now, you know, I have connections. And I must mention that when I even now go to Delhi School of Economics, because most of the professors there are my students.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very nice to me. I still get the facilities, they allot a room, they give me a computer, they give me a telephone, and are happy. Or World Bank, you go and you find so many of your students and they would just request you to share the lunch with them and things like that.
So these that are your students who did PhD under you, sir?
Some of them PhD, some of them Masters.
Masters, I see.
Because many of them go for PhD elsewhere too. Bigger places, but some of them do PhD here. So, and many of them come here. Many of my students do come here. They've been very, you know, they are kind of devotees. So, though they may be working somewhere else.
Wow, it's such an honor to hear from you, sir. After a lot of coaxing, I may say so.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it took rather long.
It took rather long to get you to share your thoughts with our listeners on these topics, although I know you're part of the forum discussion with Professor Venkatraman and Bishop Rushdie of Radio Sai. But this is a different...
Even that got delayed considerably, because I somehow was not sure.
You were traveling a lot.
Traveling, and I think in some sense, I don't know whether I'm really good at it, this kind of things.
But I think you truly represent that strain of humble leadership where your actions speak louder than your words, and there's a lot to learn from you. Thank you so very much. Appreciate your presence on the show, sir.
Thank you for giving me this chance. I think at least long last we shared some thoughts.
Yeah. It was well worth the wait. Thank you, sir.
I hope so.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Tune in to Sight. Spend the day with Sight. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Sai Ram, and thank you for staying with Morning Glory on Thursday Live, coming to you from Prashanthi Nilayam, India. Today is the 27th of March, 2014, and the time in the ashram right now is 18 minutes past 10 a.m. Current temperature outside Prashanthi Digital Studios is 30 degrees Celsius. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed that lively Triswa Divinity conversation with Professor V.N. Pandit. Your feedback is very important to us. You can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. By the way, as I often remind you, there are several hundred interesting and insightful interviews with Sai devotees from around the world under our Triswa Divinity series, and you can access them all at radiosai.org/Trist, that is T-R-Y-S-T. Now, before we go any further, it is time for some stillness and contemplation. So, dear brothers and sisters, please take a moment to pause and open your hearts to receiving an affirmation from the universe that is being delivered to you via Radio Sai. This piece of sage advice comes from Sue Sai King. It says, and I quote her, "It is the inner peace within ourselves that is our power against every adversary. In the middle of a crisis, I may become caught up in trying to think of some way, any way, out of it. Yet, when I pause for a moment and take a deep breath, I begin to understand that the way to peace is not getting out of a situation. It is going within to my own internal center of peace. God's spirit within me welcomes me to a place of absolute peace and unconditional love. I feel all pressure and stress melt away." Aware of the presence of God, I am also aware that the life of God strengthens me and the love of God comforts me. And most important, the peace of God flows through me. No matter where I am or what I am going through, I have a sanctuary of peace where I can withdraw to and be refreshed. Inner peace radiates out into all that I do. Aware of the peace of God within me, I bring peacefulness to all that I do. Unquote. This is taken from the Daily Word magazine by Silent Unity, a worldwide prayer ministry. I hope you are feeling or experiencing some degree of stillness right now, as we are here in the studio with Bhagwan seated in his chair right next to us. So welcome back to Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, where the time right now is 21 minutes past 10 a.m. Today is again the 27th of March, 2014, and I just want you to know that I have an interesting gem saved up for you for the very end of this show. But right now, before that, it is time for me to treat you to the fifth part of the six-part in-house Fleeting Moments interview with KVSK Ganesh of Radio Sai. And here it is for your inspiration and listening pleasure. Over now to part 5 of my discussion with Ganesh.
So, in the month of March, what happened was, during the darshan time, Swami was sitting on the throne, and when the Vedam was going on, Swami called me, and he asked, "Will you come to Kodai along with me?" That was in the month of March. Obviously, who would say no to that?
Of course.
But I told Swami, "If you take me, I will come."
But I had...
Then Swami told, "Go and sit." So I went and sat. That evening, I called up my parents. Because after the last Kodai trip in 2005, I had never gone home. And that was like, my parents are not into Swami's teaching and all that. They didn't know the importance of staying with Swami, physically. They told me, "Why don't you come once, so that we can see you?" That evening I called up and told, "See, Swami had asked me that whether I'll come for the Kodai trip. So it's a very great opportunity for me. Why don't you come and have Swami's darshan here? You can see me as well as Swami." They didn't tell me anything. And next morning, I wrote a letter to Swami. And evening darshan time, I mentioned in the letter that, "Swami, this vacation I'll stay with you only. If you take me to Kodaikanal, I'll come. My parents will come here and have your darshan and see me also." Then he read the entire letter and he told, "Chudra, Amma Nanna, Ninnu Chuddaniki Vastunnaru. Mother and father are coming to see you, not me." And these words, like, they want to see you so badly. Means they are missing you. Swami was stressing on that. He told me, "Go and sit." I thought, okay, they will come, have darshan, and Swami will take me to Kodai. Those were the thoughts which are going on in my mind. And that was my end of first year of MBA. When we had the industrial tour in the month of April, first week of April.
That is for your final year of MBA.
Yes. So, I had written one more letter to Swami that before going to the industrial tour, Swami, we are going to the industrial tour. I'll be back in 5 days. So, please include me in the Kodai list. Because he had already told me that he is going to take me. So, to my utter amazement, I was not there in the list. And I had to go home. And when I went home, there was a big problem in my family that my parents were really missing me. So, my support was much needed at that point of time. See how Swami plans everything in such a way that all requirements are fulfilled. He never leaves the choice or the wishes of parents just like that. He ensures that parents are happy first. Only then he gives importance to us. So this was one such incident where the problem in the family was taken care of. When I went there, my father had to share that thing which happened in my family and I was there to support him at that point of time. So after 15 days of trip, Swami came back to Whitefield. So I took my father's permission and after solving the issue over there, I had gone to Vrindavan. So the most beautiful thing is, I accepted this as Swami's will. Swami wanted me to go home, so that is good for me. With this intention, I went back to Vrindavan. The day I landed in Vrindavan, we had the first Trayi Darshan. As soon as I entered the round hall, Swami was coming inside for Darshan. He was catching the student's hand and he was just entering the hall. As soon as he saw me, he saw my letter and he called me. He took the letter from me and so lovingly he told, "When did you come?" And that eagerness with which he asked was like, he was so loving. He knew the entire problem. He knew that he is going to solve the problem. He was just there for my father to give support so that when I am there, my father will be more mentally strong. Then he pointed towards the boy who was holding Swami's hand. "Do you know who this boy is?" Then he told Swami, "No. He is a dancer. He dances very well." So at that point of time, I thought that, see, whatever Swami wants us to do, if we do it, we become real dancers. We are just puppets in his hands. Whatever action he wants us to do, according to his will, we have to give ourselves to him. So that was the thing which ran in my mind at that point of time. So this was one incident which came in between 2005 Kodai and 2007 Kodai.
It's a very good lesson because sometimes we are so hyped up and gung-ho, we want to, like, I would have wanted to go to Kodai no matter what.
Yes.
But then you accept it being dropped from the trip as his prasadam.
Yes.
And you realize that you had a different purpose to serve.
Yes.
At that time.
Yes.
You had to support your parents.
Yes.
In a difficult situation. So I think having that positive frame of mind that whatever Swami picks for us is always for our own good.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to swallow a bitter, it's what seems like a bitter pill, but it's never a bitter pill. It's only the medicine you need at that time.
Mm, yes.
Wow, Ganesh, fantastic brother.
So, coming back to the Kodai trip of 2007, that full year of 2006 and 2007 after this particular incident at my home, the entire year was filled with opportunities. That was the year when Swami had formed the Prashanti dance group and lot of opportunities were given for the group for dancing in front of him. And due to his grace, again he selected me for the Kodai trip in 2007. And this time my parents were more open towards me being with Swami. And they were realizing the importance of Swami in our lives. So they were much happier this time that their son is going along with Swami. So this particular trip, there were a few revelations which happened, which made me think in a different way. Those points which my teachers had told me before the first trip, that you should never see this as a excursion trip, but it's a spiritual journey along with God. So one such incident that happened, Swami had promised our All India President that he is going to come to his home on the Ishwarama Day celebration.
In Kodaikanal.
In Kodaikanal.
Mr. V. Srinivasan's home in Kodai.
Huh. Mm-hmm. But he didn't mention what time he's going to come. And the same day, there was a program that was scheduled by a few Balvikas children in the Bhajan Mandir. So Swami had to rush to both places. As promised, he came down early and all of us were waiting inside the down hall. And Swami called Satyajit brother and Padmanabhan sir to get the cars ready and for the entire convoy to go. So all people were busy in arranging the cars and Swami was in the wheelchair. And Swami was alone sitting on the other side of the hall and he was alone there. It was such a beautiful sight to watch from there. I personally felt that something very spectacular is going to happen now. And at that point of time, and nobody was there around Swami, Swami was just lost in a meditative pose. And Swami told, and just he opened his eyes and told, nobody can change my plan. And I don't know how many people had got this particular sentence of Swami, but it struck me like a thunderbolt. And what was there in his plan? What is going to unfold? Nobody knew, but these words were enough that he is in control of all the things around. Nobody can change my plan. That's all. And in the next moment, Swami was again speaking to all of us in a normal way, how he used to speak the entire trip. But that point of time, I realized that the divinity of Swami in him, that he is the controller of the entire universe. Everything is in his control. That's what I felt. And one very sweet incident that had happened during the 2007 Kodai trip was, the Trayi Day was also celebrated in that span of time. The dates exactly I don't remember. And Swami was getting ready for the preparations for all this. He asked our All India President Sri V. Srinivasan to get saris for all the VIP ladies for distribution. So he had got various kinds of saris from various places. Kanchipuram sari, this sari, that sari. So Swami was distributing to all the ladies and suddenly he picked up two saris and he kept it aside. Usually there in Kodaikanal, whatever Swami keeps aside, they just leave it like that. They don't touch it until Swami tells. So Swami kept it on the sofa there next to him. And it was lying there for almost 4 or 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly one morning darshan, when Swami went for rounds, he had seen two old ladies. Those two old ladies, Swami used to call them Patalammailu.
Meaning?
The ladies who sing songs.
Okay.
The duo. And when he came back after the darshan, he told them to wait there. He came back and he asked one of our sirs to take these two saris and give it to those two ladies. And afterwards, when this person had gone to give the saris, Swami started telling about those two ladies to all of us. See, those two ladies have come to see me after a long, long time. I want to make them happy. And this particular incident made me realize that Swami never forgets his devotees. Even if we forget, Swami doesn't. And this was one particular eye-opener for me.
And so many days ahead of time, he had put aside two saris for them, knowing they are going to come and he was going to need those two for them.
Any small act which Swami does, any word which Swami speaks, everything has some relevance. Nothing is done or nothing is spoken without inner meaning in that. So then those two saris, the sir had given to them and he rushed back to Swami and told, Swami, those two ladies are so happy that after so many years, you have blessed them. Then Swami was also feeling happy and then again he called the sir and told, he took two 500 rupee notes and he gave it to that sir. Go fast, those two ladies are waiting near the gate outside. Give it to them and tell them to get blouses stitched for those two saris. And he asked the sir,
my God, so beautiful.
Will 500 rupees be enough for each blouse to be stitched? Then tears started rolling down the cheek of that sir and we were all taken aback. What? The love of Swami is
compassion,
so much
heartfulness. Yes. Oh my God.
Yes. And this sir rushed towards those two ladies and when he gave it to those Patalammailu, and they were like sobbing. They were so filled with joy.
Naturally.
After a long time, when Swami recognizes you and sees you.
He never forgets us. He may pretend.
And that was a real eye-opener for all of us. That's what, when one of our lecturers was asked by his friends that seeing a Swami's photo in his home, they asked him, "Are you Swami's followers?" Then the sir promptly replied to them, "I don't know whether we follow Swami or not, but he keeps following us." So this is one particular incident which drives home the lesson that God will never forget you. And coming to the next Kodai trip.
You were getting used to these, weren't you?
But
did you used to get anxious whether my name will be on the list?
Every time the list was being prepared, I was...
tell us what prayers you said.
My friend was always Ganesha, and I always used to do pradakshina to Ganesha. And
so Ganesha versus Ganesha, just going around Lord Ganesha.
Yes, he used to convey whatever prayers I had to the Lord. And this particular Kodai trip in 2009.
Which was Swami's last Kodai trip.
Yes, last Kodai trip. This point of time, I was a waiting boy. And usually waiting boys don't get an opportunity to go to Kodai along with Swami. Very rarely people get. So I still remember this particular night. I was sleeping in my house on the terrace, looking at the stars and just enjoying the open sky. Suddenly I get a phone call from the hostel. "Register sir is calling you. Please come fast." This was night 9:30. So I rushed to the hostel and I picked up the call from register sir. He told, "See Ganesh, please keep it for yourself. Swami asked me to inform you that you have been selected for the Kodai trip." And that was like a blessing for me, because I had never expected. This was one particular trip when I never expected I got it. Previous two trips I had prayed that I should be with Swami, but this time I didn't pray. So like that I had gone to the Kodai trip of 2009. And Swami used me as a small instrument during this trip. Because this trip was famous as the Burakada trip, where the trio had performed Burakada 3 times in Swami's presence. And Swami...
our very own Arvind Sai.
Yes, Arvind Sai.
Sai Prabhakar.
Sai Prabhakar and Sai Raghuram. I had the good fortune of doing the makeup for them and getting them ready for the performance. And the love of Swami is so much that the 3 times they performed and the 3 times they were getting ready, Swami was there all through the makeup sessions.
When supervising, you supervising, they've got enough...
Each and every detail.
Enough eye makeup.
Yes. Enough makeup. How the armlets should be tied. How the waistband should be tied.
Perfection in everything.
Perfection every single way.
Little things, big things.
And
I believe Swami made such a fuss about the perfection of the garlands they were supposed to wear.
Yeah, always Swami had a feeling that everything should be covered. And the garland should not be a small garland. It should come till the knee. And because the beauty that it creates when you see a garland of such a length is so much that... Because as an artist, we understand some little details of how you should get decked up when you are giving a performance. And Swami followed it to the last eye for detail. He had an eye for detail. And so lovingly he used to tell us, "See, this armlet is not proper. Tie it to the other end." And so many things which we never used to think of, he used to make us do in such a short span of time.
Such as what?
See, supposing a waistband is there, we forgot to take armlets. So there were extra waistbands which were there.
So he said, "Cut
then
those."
Then Swami told, "You fold it and put it as an armlet."
Oh, I see, fold
and
it.
That made us think...
improvise.
In crisis situations, how to improvise,
yeah.
How to bring out the best in whatever you have.
Yeah.
And those were some beautiful sessions which we still remember and cherish. So this was regarding the Kodai Canal 2009 trip. And one beautiful thing, at that point of time when I was waiting, my parents kept on asking me, "What are you going to do next?" Obviously,
you had studied a lot. You had 2 master's degrees.
Yeah,
you had a diploma in Indian culture and philosophy.
Yeah.
You had a gold medal.
Yeah.
You had done nuclear physics. You had done MBA. Now, what next? Any parent would be anxious to know.
Yes. But my interest was in dance completely. So I had written Because Swami had so many times mentioned that you teach dance to the students, you train them properly. So I had written in that letter that, Swami, if you give me an opportunity, I will teach dance to all the boys and I will stay at your lotus feet. Then in this particular trip, I wrote a letter, and this being a very personal gathering around Swami, Swami read my letter and he called Venkatraman sir. See the arrangement which Swami does.
Your future boss.
And previous two times when he was talking about my future, he used to call S.V. Giri sir and ask him, what is this boy going to do? What is good for him? Swami used to ask him. Now the turn was for Venkatraman sir. And Swami called him, what this boy has done MSc, MBA? Can he do research in MBA or science? He was exploring different ways. And Venkatraman sir was obviously, he was nodding and he was giving his inputs. Then Swami stopped and told, but this boy wants to teach dance. But there is no dance school in our college. Then he looked at me and told, Chudu, mana college lo dance ledu.
We don't have dance in our college.
I will set up a dance school in Bangalore. Will you go and teach boys and girls there? I told Swami, no. Swami, I won't go. I won't leave you and go. So these were the words. When I was speaking those, automatically tears were rolling down my cheeks. I never wanted to leave Swami at any point of time.
As it is, you studied the courses that kept you in Prashanthi Nilayam, so you were not going anywhere.
So then
Swami, Bangalore was far, 3 hours away.
Yeah, so Swami was gracious enough to leave the conversation at that point of time. He didn't want to make me cry more. If I look back, the Venkatraman sir whom Swami introduced me that day is now my present boss, and I'm very happy to share with everybody that, sir, a person of that stature is leading us.
Outrageous, sir.
So these were the moments which I had in these three Kodai trips.
Now this Prashanthi dance group that you are an integral part of, you are such a multi-talented person. I don't know how you manage your time, Ganesh. You work so hard and long at Radio Sai, and then you're always on time for Vedam, and you do it like today is the first time you're getting to do it in front of Swami, or it's the last time you're having the opportunity to perform or chant your Vedam in front of Swami. You're also the leader of the Prashanthi dance group. Recently, your performance included boys from 4 campuses of the Sai University, the higher secondary school, the primary school. How did you get to where you guys are, doing such a fantastic job?
This was entirely Swami's inspiration, without which nothing would have happened. And constantly, Swami kept guiding us. In the year 2006, when Swami started the dance group, whenever Swami starts anything, he gives so much of importance, so much of care towards it, so that the foundation for the tree will be perfect. And the interest that Swami took in nourishing the dance group was so much that in the first year of the establishment of this dance group, Swami gave us 11 opportunities to perform in a single year. Can you believe it?
Unheard of, almost like one a month.
Yes. And every special occasion we happened to perform. On every occasion we had to perform. And the group consisted of 21 members, because Swami had indicated how many boys to be there during the performance, and we followed whatever Swami had told to the word. Always Swami kept indicating to us, see, performance is not the final thing, the practice is more important. After every performance, Swami used to tell us, practice well. So that was the motivation for all the dance group boys. And till date, everybody keeps practicing so well. And even if it is a difficult day in the office for me, when there is a program, I contribute my 100% to train the boys. And it's a constant responsibility for me, because Swami had asked me specially, you keep training the boys. And there is a very thin line of difference between teaching the boys and training the boys. Swami had used the word tayar chai.
Get them ready.
Get them ready. When he tells tayar chai, there is a different understanding for it. It expresses that you have to make people of your standard. So all these boys, all these 21 boys, whoever joined the dance group, are all boys without any dance experience, prior experience of dance. So how come they are doing so well? It is just because they follow what Swami told, practice. Practice makes a man perfect. So every day they have dance class and we teach them varieties of dance forms. Now Swami had been sending elderly people like Sri Deepak Mazumdar, who are renowned dancers, to come and train us. And all because of His grace. Now, when Swami was physically present, we were just performing a song and a dance and a commentary in between. But now it took a different course altogether. Because the responsibility for the dance group, all of us sat together and we understood what exactly we have to do as a group. So it is not just entertaining the people. Some message has to go across. Because if it is in front of Swami directly, physically, it is only for Swami. We don't think of the audience also. But now, when Swami is physically not there, Swami is watching through each and everyone present in the audience. So that becomes a very big Swami for us. And we have to cater to everybody sitting there in the audience. So that is our target. So now what we started doing is, we started going through Swami's discourses and we pick up a pertinent message which is suitable for the occasion. And we weave an entire story based on that particular discourse of Swami. And this was how we tried to evolve as a dance group. So the ultimate aim is to give Swami's message to the world in the best way we can. This is the aim of the Prashanti dance group.
What a noble aim, and I'm sure for thousands and thousands of years to come, the Prashanti dance group will remain a brand that Bhagwan created, and today you've captured that story. And this place is going to be around for thousands of years, and generations to come will aspire to be members of the Prashanti dance group. It's so sacred, so organic, your vision, your intention, your motivation, and the birth. You were instrumental. So special, so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that, Ganesh.
Thank you.
Really, it's very few people would have guessed that this is the story behind those boys who dance so enthusiastically.
Yes.
And how much of thought and devotion and love for Swami goes into all this.
Yes, very much. With all the tight schedule and the stress they have in the hostel, they pull out time to bring out such wonderful performances.
And so do you. You have a full-time job, 24/7, 7 days a week.
Yes.
And everybody tries so hard. I don't know, I think when your intention is good, Swami expands your time and helps you to get so much more done.
We just get that energy from Swami. That's all. That is the only motivation for us.
Now, you're such an intense guy, so much of closeness, physical, spiritual, with Swami, such an high achiever in your academics, in your creative work, dance, drama, Vedam chanting, in the work you do at Radio Sai. But in recent times, Bhagwan is no longer in the body. How do you experience being one with Sai?
This is a very beautiful question. The dance boys who have passed out as alumni are still in touch with all of us, and still we have a group which is there outside continuously practicing, and we are looking out for opportunities on bigger occasions outside Prashanti Nilayam to put up performances so that Swami's message can be given to the world. So one such occasion was the One with Sai program, which happens every month in Vrindavan. We came to know that various artists perform there. As Swami tells, take one step towards me, I'll take 100 towards you, maybe 1,000. So I took the initiative of asking the organizers to give the dance group a chance to perform. Usually it is only a music group or an individual performing. This was the first time they are trying to give a chance to a bigger group. So it usually happens in the Ramesh Hall with a small stage put up and the music group sitting there and performing. So ours was a group of around 20 boys who are planning to perform. And then see how Swami indicates to all of us. Before I asked the organizers, in one of our group members, Swami came to his dream and he indicated the date of the program. All of you perform in Kalyana Mandapam on this particular date. And the boy didn't know what. This was much before this program happened. So that boy happened to pass his message to the entire group. Then the practical implications of performing in Ramesh Hall were so difficult because putting up a stage, the logistics were very difficult to plan. The easiest way to perform was to do in the Kalyana Mandapam. And when we asked the organizers that, sir, we want to shift the venue of the program from Ramesh Hall to the Kalyana Mandap, in the beginning they hesitated because all the devotees are used to coming and sitting in the Ramesh Hall. I don't think it will be ideal to perform there inside. If you want, we'll put up a stage facing Swami. So when we face Swami, we'll be showing our backs to the audience. So it won't be an ideal performance. Both Swami and the audience should see and enjoy. So that was our motive. We tried to convey to them 3-4 times, but still they were hesitant. And one fine day what happened was, Swami came in one of the boy's dreams. And I still remember the dream when that boy mailed us.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just read out that
please do.
This was the mail that...
What date is it?
It was dated July the 15th, 2013. Happy to inform that One with Sai program organizers gave permission to put up a dance program in Vrindavan Kalyana Mandapam.
Fantastic.
Last week, when we came back from Parthi, I got a dream in which Swami was inquiring about One with Sai program. Swami talking to the VIPs, what is there for this week's One with Sai? VIP replies, Swami, dance program followed by Burakatha. Then Swami again asks, where are they going to perform? The VIP answers, Swami, Kalyana Mandapam. Swami then asks, why Kalyana Mandapam? After a pause for 2 seconds, it's okay, but tell all of them to do well.
Wow, what clear instruction.
And then the thing which he tells after this dream, what happened? From this dream, I couldn't make out whether Swami wants us to do it in Kalyana Mandapam or not. When we told our requirements to One with Sai organizers, initially they didn't agree with what we told. So all of us thought that if Swami wants our program to be in Kalyana Mandapam, it will be in Kalyana Mandapam. After 30 minutes, Srikant brother, the coordinator of One with Sai program, came to us and told that higher authorities agreed to get the program done in Kalyana Mandapam. As Swami said, now it is our turn to practice well
and, do
and
well.
Perform well.
Yes.
So
you guys are still being monitored very carefully.
Yes.
By the founder of the group.
Yes.
And you have to always live up to his expectation to do really well.
Yes. We should always perform at our best possible capability.
Performance. It has to continue.
Yes. So this was how, and this is how Swami has been guiding us at every moment.
And even now after Mahasamadhi, he continues.
Yes.
And he's watching you all the time.
Yes, he's always watching us.
Very nice.
Sairam, dear listeners, that was the fifth part of this in-house Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories interview with Radio Sai's Ganesh. In case you have missed the first 4 parts, you can catch them on our website, radiosai.org/Sai Students. Look for the link to KVSK Ganesh's interview there. The sixth and the concluding part of this interview will be aired right here on Morning Glory next Thursday. As always, we are looking forward to your feedback to this conversation, and you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. And we invite you to browse through our repository of engaging, inspiring, humorous and moving interviews with several hundred Sai students, all of which are free downloads at our website radiosai.org/Sai Students. Sai Students is one single word and is plural. It ends with an S. This shortcut will take you straight to the long list of interviews that are yours to enjoy at leisure.
Let me narrate to you an episode. Our room leader was Kotesa. I asked him, is it compulsory to go for darshan?
Oh my God.
I had the nerve to ask him that.
I think it's a very sea change when you become a Sai student, because it's only when I joined the Satya Sai College, I discovered that this God is not a photograph on the wall, and he's not something so distant. He's something very, very near you.
And this was lovely, because there you had on the gymnastic bench, the student on one side, Swami on the other side, locked in battle.
Again,
it was arm wrestling
with Swami.
With Swami.
and having been given the divine golden opportunity to have studied in his institutions and directly experienced his love, then we have to really live our lives to reflect his teachings.
Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories is our weekly radio series in which we bring you conversations with the former students of Bhagwan Baba's schools and colleges. You can also listen to this on Asia Stream of Radio Sai on the Morning Glory segment of Thursday Live, which starts at 9:40 a.m. To know more about the timings of this weekly series, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, on other streams of Radio Sai, please go to the schedule page of our website, radiosai.org. You can also download and listen to this at your leisure by visiting the link radiosai.org/sai students. That is radiosai/SAI STUDENTS. Thank you and happy listening. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, one thought that I'd like to leave you with is to download on your device or a pen drive as many Fleeting Moments interviews with Sai students or Trisvi Divinity interviews with Sai devotees and enjoy listening to them while you're traveling, driving or waiting in a queue. Lots of our listeners report that they are doing so and they are loving it. This way, they are always in Swami's company and everything seems to go easy and smooth. Long drives and rides feel so much more enjoyable and shorter, and waiting at a doctor's office or at the bus stand doesn't seem as irksome. Of course, you got to use your headphones in those situations when you're in a public place. Now, here is the gem that I had saved for the end of the show today. This gem I picked from Facebook, and its source is the Associated Press. And its dateline is Rome, and this is a news item where Pope Francis has sternly warned the Italian mafia of the consequences of their violence and unrighteous action in this life and the next. I thought it was really very bold and courageous of His Holiness to speak so clearly without mincing his words. Don't you wish more leaders could come out and resonate such candor? The story is from Nicole Winfield of the Associated Press and was first published on Friday, March 21st, 2014, just a week ago. The heading says, Pope Francis to Mafia, repent or go to hell. Ooh, that sure sounds very strong, doesn't it? And the story reads as follows. Pope Francis has a warning for Italy's mobsters. They will go to hell if they don't repent and renounce their blood-stained money and blood-stained power. The pontiff on Friday delivered his most forceful denunciation yet of organized crime. The occasion was a prayer vigil at a Roman church for relatives of those killed by the mafia. During the ceremony, the names of 842 victims were read aloud as a somber Francis looked on. After voicing his solidarity with the family members, Francis said he couldn't leave the service without speaking to those not present, the protagonist of mafia violence. Addressing these absentee mafiosi, Francis was unsparing. He said, "This life that you live now won't give you pleasure. It won't give you joy or happiness. Blood-stained money, blood-stained power. You can't bring it with you to your next life. Repent. There's still time to not end up in hell, which is what awaits you if you continue on this path." Unquote. Francis has spoken out frequently about the evils of corruption and wrote a short booklet on corruption and sin in the year 2005 when he was the Archbishop of Buenos Aires. But this was his first major address to Italian victims of organized crime who were gathering near Rome for an annual retreat organized by the mafia fighting priest. It takes place each March 21st, the first day of spring. Unquote. Dear listeners, don't you just love what the Pope said? I wish he could repeat this reminder to all others around the world, including people in power who are abusive, corrupt, and use violence. With that news from the Vatican, dear sisters and brothers, I'd like to thank you for your company. I hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Morning Glory on Thursday Live, which I'm happy to report and inform Brother Raghu, who's next, that I'm ending it perfectly on time today. We'd love to hear back from you. Please send in your feedback by email to us at listener@radiosai.org. Till we meet next Thursday, please be well, keep seeking, and do whatever it takes to stay positive and inspired. I now hand you over to Brother Raghu, who will host Service Love in Action next. Jai Sai Ram.